The message I have is from Acts chapter 1. And I'd like to just thank the Lord that I've been with Chuck in Calvary Chapel for 29 years now. And I moved into the Mansion Messiah the first week of May in 1970. And 1 month from the day, it'll be 25 years exactly, that we started in San Diego with 10 people. And one new church every 5 months for 25 years. 59 churches have grown out of that original home fellowship. And it's amazing to see what the Holy Spirit does and is doing. So, Father, I'd like to thank you personally and for the honor to be with my brothers and be with my pastor. And I want to thank you for 29 years of you keeping me on a narrow path and many times you using your rod and your staff to make sure I don't wander off that path. And thank you, Lord, for all the years to learn of you, to walk with you, to love you, to sing to you, to pray to you, to listen to you, to follow you, to be led by you. And thank you for all the great years following my pastor and for all the truth that he's poured into my life and the great role model he's been to me and all these hundreds of men. We just can't thank you enough. In Jesus' name, amen. The former treaty that I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. My verse is verse 2, but we do have to comment on Theophilus, because you could read 8 or 10 different commentaries and you're going to get a split group. Some say he is writing to a personal friend, because Theophilus in the original Greek means, of course, friend of God or lover of God. And so some commentators say this is to everybody that loves God. J. Vernon McGee, actually very emphatic, says no way does it mean that. It's to a personal friend that he's writing. So some of you may be interested in that, but I've got a third alternative for you. This guy was so ugly when he was born that the doctor said, this is the awfulest looking kid I've ever seen. And that was it. He got the name right there. Well, it's an option, you know. I like word study, so I... In two senses, we see as we study the book of Acts, as Chuck pointed out to us, it's a continuing story. You know, it hasn't stopped. It really hasn't stopped. And it keeps going on. First, it's the second volume which Luke had sent to Theophilus. And the first volume is Gospel. Luke told the story of the life of Jesus and everything that he began to teach and to do. And the story goes on, and he tells the story now of the Christian church. And so the second part, as we see, is the Acts, is the second volume of the story, which is even continuing today and has no end. And the Gospel was only the story of what Jesus began to do and to teach. But years ago, it dawned on me, in my personal walk with the Lord, I was born again in revival. And so I expect nothing but the Holy Spirit to do things. I mean, I just have no doubt. I've never come to a plateau where I said, well, he can't work, and I don't know. And there's times I've wanted to step out of the ministry or run from the ministry. It's sort of like Jesus, where'd you get the wounds in your hands? He said, in the house of my brothers. And I never get them from the bad guys outside. I always get them from my brothers, as I know you have too. And sometimes you say, is it worth it, all this, you know, backbiting, murmuring, complaining, stabbing, you know, and all of that that goes on. But as far as trust in Jesus, there's never been a doubt, because the night I came to the Lord, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I didn't have to wait and find out if there was a glossolalia or just tongues. And I didn't have to wait and find out, was I filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, overflowing with the Spirit, a first experience or a second experience. I just said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, let's go get all the commies. And so I just had a great time when I got filled with the Spirit. And we broke up the Students for a Democratic Society at Orange Coast College. They were never the same after I got hold of them. Now, it's interesting that we also call the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Jesus calls it in John 15 and 16, the Comforter. And we know the Greek word paraclete. It's like two cleats on a pair of shoes. Paracletes, you know, it makes a little noise, tapping along. But I was reading where Wycliffe, these are heavy, these are deep, these are quick, you got to listen. I'm just supposed to warm the crowd up, and then Raoul's coming. He's Dr. Reese, I'm just a guy that graduated with him. But in Wycliffe's time, it had a different meaning. They took it from the Latin, and it meant brave instead of, you know, the comforter that comes alongside. They used it in the Latin language, the same word to mean brave, like a brave heart. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would make a man courageous and brave to do things for Jesus Christ, is how he looked at it. A little bit differently than we'd say, well, he comes alongside, he works with you. But this is the real key, is that the Holy Spirit needs to be moving in your heart, in your life, and in your families. in your marriages, among your children, not just in your pulpits and in your Sunday schools. But that's one of the great things at Calvary Chapel. The Holy Spirit is still moving. It hasn't hiccuped. It hasn't burped. It hasn't gone back two steps and forward one step. It's still moving at Calvary Chapel. I have the greatest honor of doing Thursday nights and assisting Chuck on Thursday nights the last couple of months. And I listen and watch very closely. And one thing that I've seen about the moving of the Holy Spirit is something that has been there for 29 years. If I talk to the cameraman, Tim, if I talk to the sound people, if I talk to the ushers, if I talk to people in the church, they all love their Pastor Chuck. And if we are talking about Pastor Chuck, it is in the most loving terms. That's the Holy Spirit. They all love him. And they realize that he realizes that it's not his ministry, it's God's ministry. But they love him so much because they trust him that he will never take a hold of them and try to manipulate them or use them. And his fingerprints are nowhere to be found around Calvary Chapel. He knows that Jesus Christ is the head of Calvary Chapel, and that through the Holy Ghost, Jesus inspires him in his meditation, his Bible study, his prayer time, in his devotions to God. That's where he gets his direction. There's never been a doubt in his mind or heart that Jesus is still the head of the church, and it's through the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives the commandments to Chuck what to do. His ventures of faith. They're nothing more than him taking a step of faith, taking a new venture after prayer, hearing the Lord and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding him. And I have found in traveling around the country and around the world that there are many pastors in and out of Calvary Chapel who have grabbed a hold of their ministry, their tape library, their pamphlets and books, their congregation, their church, their people. Very dangerous, because the Holy Spirit starts moving at that time. Because he doesn't need to move anymore. You've got it all under control. And so you bring a halt to the move of the Holy Spirit. So he starts moving around looking for someone he can send. And the crazier and the further out than you are, he'll find them. He'll use them to remind you and me that God wants the glory. So he goes to Fort Lauderdale and he finds Bob Coy. And he just uses the dickens out of Bob Coy. And he goes to your neighborhood and he finds you. And he uses you as much as he can. But it's when we grab a hold of our ministry that the Holy Spirit starts to slow down. And it's very dangerous, gentlemen, to see it as our ministry. And this is something I picked up in the last 7 or 8 weeks, Chuck, on Thursday nights. And just talking and having friendship. It's the reason they love their shepherd is they trust him. They do not ever feel that he is going to use them as a statistic or as a George Barna report or church growth manual, but that he simply loves them as their shepherd and feeds them. And their problems don't bother him because they belong to the Lord, not to him. Am I right so far? Oh, good. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said in verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always until the end of the age." How important for us to realize that. Because sometimes you feel like the Lord isn't with you. And some of you say, well, I don't have a big church, so I'm not being used of the Lord. That's not true. Some of you with smaller congregations are more effective for the Lord than some of us with bigger congregations. What happens is that we forget the Lord is with us always till the end. And when we get in those dark points, we figure out, well, I'm in this tunnel, I'm in this gray area, and I just feel like I'm not loved by God anymore. And we forget that he's with us always. And so you will definitely go through patterns as a pastor where depression could hit you, or you get feeling kind of bad, or you've seen too much tragedy, or whatever your problem is. And you need to remember those words of Jesus. I am with you. That's the greatest right there. Always, and all the way to the end. All the way to the end. So you don't bail out on God. He's not bailing out on us. And last year, if you'll remember, Chuck had mentioned running the race and seeing the tape up ahead. I had mentioned how I used to love to do the 180 low hurdles or the 440 or the 880 relay. And coming around that last bend on the 220 yards or the 180 and seeing the tape up ahead was always a thrill to me. And sometimes I'd trip and fall and wouldn't make it to the tape, but I just got thrilled. Oh, the tape, you know, and I knew there was something down there. I'm going for that tape. Well, I feel that last year we took a look at the tape coming around the bend. And I think this year, if any year that the Calvary pastors have gotten together, is a year that we better get serious with the Lord. Cassie Burnell was a sign that it has begun. And it's only the beginning of the pressures that are being put upon the Christian community. And we need to realize that. And we need to really be about our Father's business. And as Chuck told me one time when the homosexual community was in an uproar in San Diego, and the chief of police kicked the Explorer Scouts out of the police department because they wouldn't let a homosexual, the Boy Scouts of America wouldn't let a homosexual be a leader or be in the Boy Scouts. And it was front page news all the time. And I was sitting down at the men's conference with Chuck and I said, Chuck, here's the situation. He looked at me and said, Mike, stand for righteousness. And I realized, well, I always do stand for righteousness, but I was a coward. I didn't want to go on a citywide level and make a statement. It could tarnish my reputation, you know, and I might not be able to lead everybody to the Lord. And I did what he said. I stood for righteousness. And it's important for us right now, as Cassie Burnell stood for righteousness, that you and I really let the people know that we're walking close to Jesus Christ. And only through the Holy Spirit can we do that. The thing I did that day was I called the president of the Boy Scouts of America and I said, we'd like you in uniform with all the ribbons and badges you can get and a couple of other important guys to come and we want to give you a check. We want to make a donation to the Boy Scouts of America. And there were two people running for mayor. One of them was saying that if he was elected that he would give marriage certificates to homosexuals in the city of San Diego. And the other one was a woman, a Jewish lady who I've known for some years. And she was on the board of directors of the Boy Scouts of America. And when those men came up on stage, I had just said, without trying to be political, now there is somebody in our city that doesn't want the Boy Scouts here and the homosexuals want to move in on it. And isn't that true? And the president said, yes. And I said, and so there is one person, one man that's running for office that wants the homosexuals. But I think there's a woman that's running that's on your board, isn't it? Well, everybody knew who that was. It's interesting. She won the election by the amount of people that were in our Sunday service. I didn't mean to push the politics. But I said, we're going to present to the Boy Scouts of America $20,000 today. We're standing for righteousness. And the man just, he looked, $20,000, and tears welled up in his eyes. And everybody stood and applauded and whistled and said, phew, I'm glad they went for it. So I shook his hand. I'm looking at him right now and I said, sir, we give you this $20,000 in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're standing for righteousness with you. And he's crying. Oh, I can't believe nobody stood with us like this. And then as everybody started to sit down, I leaned over and said, there's no money in there and there's no check. We haven't got the 20, but we're trusting God. This guy looked at me and said, what? I said, now, for our message this morning, he sat there through the whole Bible study going, what? By the end of the service, there was $20,000. Some people came and gave him $20,000. But I knew Jesus would stand for righteousness because Chuck told me to stand for righteousness. Chuck told me that's all I need to know. You see, the apostles were enjoined to wait on the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wait, tarry in Jerusalem, that Malcolm will be talking about. And I have found that when I get the time to wait and to just go to prayer, that the Bible is very true, that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. You know, they'll walk and they're not going to faint. And I would like to just suggest that, if not for the next 2 days, that in coming weeks ahead, that Calvary Chapel slows down across the country and around the world and just waits. Because we need a national spiritual awakening. And I'm not too sure, as Chuck pointed out, modernism and liberalism is too open to spiritual awakenings. God could work a miracle. But he doesn't put new wine into old wineskins. And I don't think Calvary Chapel is an old wineskin. And I think that if we will just wait, something new, fresh, and powerful is going to bust loose throughout the country and wherever the Calvary Chapels are. And so I would hope that during these next 2 days that all of a sudden you'd get a revelation from the Lord and a word from the Bible studies and your times of prayer, that you'd hear the Lord say something to you. And we're going to watch the Lord do something very important. Not only is he with us to the close of the age and the end of the world, where we are now, obviously, you remember that he said, without me, you can do nothing. How important for us to realize that after he'd gone to heaven, it was through the person of the Holy Spirit that he continued talking to the shepherds of the flock. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, he kept talking. So his ministry really didn't end. Luke's gospel is all that Jesus began to do and to teach. But the book of Acts, we see that Jesus continues to do and to teach also through the person of the Holy Spirit, but now using earthen vessels that have a power inside of it. That's a great responsibility you and I have to be. You always hear, now we'd like to introduce you to the man of the hour, or God's man. No, we're not that. Hopefully we're godly men, but we're not some big celebrities that are more spiritual than anybody else. Because if you take the word to truth and it says, I use the foolish to confound the wise, then we should be humbler than anybody we ever teach or preach to, shouldn't we? And how important for us to realize we need the moving of the Holy Spirit. And it was until that very day, until he was taken up, Jesus was teaching, and then he used the Holy Spirit. He makes it clear that just because Jesus was taken away up into heaven didn't mean that he ceased his ministry. Now, how amazing to stop and think of that for a moment. Had he ceased his ministry then because he died, oh, wow, he rose from the dead. That's a miracle. Wow, we'd all be going on the miracle of, did you hear the story of the tomb? Wow, did you hear the story of the cross? But did you ever hear the story of power coming from on high and that he's coming back? Those two elements give us a lot of hope today. In fact, many times through Thessalonians and other places, you purify yourself with this hope, the Scripture tells us. It keeps us pure and holy to know that by the time we walk to the lunchroom to have dinner tonight, that the Holy Ghost could take us all to heaven if he wants to. We should be walking every day as if Jesus Christ were ready to call us this afternoon. We don't know when he's going to come back, so we want to be ready. As Martin Luther said, I live every day as Jesus died yesterday, rose today, and he's coming back tomorrow. What an attitude for the expectancy of Jesus Christ. And what an attitude for us to have a heart that every person we see within the vision of our little peepers potentially is on their way to hell and they need the love of Jesus Christ. And so as a pastor, you can get locked in so much on Mr. Pastor and forget compassion. And you don't see people as people that need the Lord. You see people that are sitting there listening to your wonderful Bible studies. That's a great danger to have. Put all your study in, put all of your time in, get the great outlines, do it all. But if you ever lose compassion and concern for human beings, you're just a teaching machine. And there's no love there, there's no warmth there, there's no concern there, there's no care there. Chuck mentioned one of the new wave gurus that's going around. We had a Calvary Horizon that I led the guy to the Lord, I discipled him, went on the mission field, came back, trained him even furthermore, and he went off with a couple other guys and became, you know, saddlebacks. I said, why would you want to leave your heritage? Why would you want to leave the power of God's Word? You train a person to come to church and to look at big screens and to look at an outline and not bring their Bible, and you're turning them away from the Word of God. Because if they're not bringing their Bibles to church and following you along line for line, verse for verse, they're not opening those books at home either. And it isn't too long until they drift completely away.
Please turn cassette over at this time for side two.
Jesus was never seeker-friendly. Told him to get out of the tree, Zach. We're going to your house. And you better repent while you're at it. Everybody, he nailed them. And he had a right to nail them because their sins nailed him to the cross. And we don't need to tippy-toe around. And there are so many going to hell every day. Our compassion should show through our prayer time and our Bible studies. Now, from the vantage point of the right hand of God, we realize that Jesus is still carrying on from heaven the work and the teaching of the disciples he started while he is here on earth. The second, we look now that Luke records is really the Acts of Jesus as much as it's the Acts of the Apostle when you think of it. And really, the name of the Acts of the Apostle is really not a good name for the book, though I'm not telling God how to edit his book. But when you stop and think of it, that he gave commandments to them many times. One, when he called them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Then he sent them out on the Galilee tour. Go ahead. Go. All 70 people went out and go in groups of two, and here's what you do. So they were used to getting commandments. They were used to hearing his voice. But how important for us to realize that he is continuing to work this afternoon through the Holy Spirit. This stops liberalism and modernism. And no matter what God does with Pastor Chuck, Calvary Chapel will not turn towards liberalism or modernism. Because we'll just ask you to leave. I'm sorry, we don't need you anymore. The Word of God is the foundation. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you want to differ on that, you can go down and get an A&W root beer float and we'll see you in heaven. But stick at the Word of God and stick at prayer and stick with the conviction that God Almighty from heaven has called you and get away from all these silly and stupid things that are going on. Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age, and without me you can do nothing. Little bookends, huh? I know that until the day I die, that Jesus is going to be with me. And I know the day that my body dies, this old grandpa body, that Jesus is going to be with me. And I also know that on this end of the spectrum, there's nothing that I can do without him. Now, I would have to look and say, gosh, I've done a lot. I've really accomplished a lot. I'm 117 years old inside of this body. I'm worn out. I'm tired. But I haven't done anything. I've just followed him. And you can understand when Jesus said, the laborers are few. That's why some of you work hard. And those of you that are lazy and have your answering machines on and never show up and do anything, that's why you don't have the conviction of what's going on. You need the bookends. Without me, you can do nothing, but I'm with you to the very end. Knowing that he's with me. Just one little encouragement from Jesus that I'm reading the Bible and a verse sticks out. Whoa, I really needed that. That'll keep me going forever. Just a compliment from my pastor, and imagine you doing it to people. It just gets me going on. I mean, sometimes I have to think, well, now I'm going to introduce Raul Reese, and you know I listen to Raul on the way home, and I get blessed by Raul's Bible studies. This is Chuck. I can't do Greg's imitation. You know, and I like Skip. Skip really has some good, meaty studies, and Greg is a superb, excellent evangelist. And now, when we first met Mike, we didn't know if he'd make it, and now we're not sure that he will make it. Malcolm was with us this last week, and he gave me one of the kindest compliments that I'd ever heard, and it really meant a zillion to me because I admire him so much. He had mentioned that he'd only heard me at pastor's conferences exhorting, but he never heard me feed my flock, and he said, you people are very fortunate. And, you know, I took him to lunch afterwards, got him the suite and the place, and roses delivered and prime rib, and he fell for it. Stephen reminds us that Jesus is still there. He's still right with his Father, and he's still standing up for his boys. Here he is dying, and he looks up and sees the Lord. Jesus is with you all the way to the end. So I'm not going to bail out now when I see the homosexual agenda getting bigger and bigger in the schools. And I have little grandkids in school now. And in California, they want to start teaching kindergartners about homophobia. They want to teach them about intolerance. They want to teach them about same-sex marriages. And I think of my beautiful little Katie. She's got a brain that she could have only gotten from my father-in-law. Just such an intelligent girl. Just really, I mean, he had a high IQ. And I sit with her and I talk to her about Jesus and the Bible, and she soaks it up like that. I've got 4 messages on my answer machine in Newport from Katie. Papa, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then there's another one. Then she calls back the next day and she's got these verses sitting there. And I think, all of a sudden, Katie's gone kindergarten, first grade, and she's got a father that loves Jesus Christ like very few men. She's got a mother that Sandy and I have prayed for all of her life and just loves Jesus. And I just think that she comes home and says, Mom, Dad, you know you're homophobic, intolerant, religious right people. And the government trying to turn my little Katie against my sweet Mindy and my good friend Dave. It infuriates me. I have the bookends that he's going to be with me always. And if I have to stand up for righteousness. You know, Cassie Barnell said, you know this, I'm pretty sure, Gino. Cassie Barnell's mother gave out a poem she wrote 2 days before she died. And then Jean-Luc Lajoie, I love saying his name, Jean-Luc Lajoie, French fry, French toast. It sounds like an... He put it to music, and in it, she said, Jesus, I want to be one with you, and if I have to stand for you and die, I will. And 2 days later, she did. You know, Jesus is with us always, to the end, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to us, teaching us through his word and how we so desperately need him. Until the day which he was taken up. You know the Acts was called the Acts, the Gospel of the Holy Ghost, the Gospel of the Resurrection. And one commentator said it's the Acts of the Apostles. Actually, it's Acts of some of the Apostles, but really it's the moving of Jesus through the church, using the Apostles. And that's really a great picture. And until the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, I'd like to read this verse to you. If you want to turn there, you can. Verse 10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. You know that the word time is found 1,563 different times throughout the Scriptures, and the word day, and the word for time is found 562 different times. So time is of the essence. It's found over 2,000 times in the King James Bible. Time is of the essence. And Satan, we know, is extremely angry right now at the saints, at the church, at the Jews, at any good person. Why? Because he knows his time is short. Here's this most beautiful creature with the sum total of wisdom inside of him, who lived in eternity with God Almighty, and now he's cast into our time zone and knows the clock is ticking on him. He knows that time is working against him when before there was no time when he was in the presence of God. Time is working against us if we're walking away from Jesus Christ too. And the church needs to see men that will stand for righteousness who are getting their daily marching orders from Jesus Christ who's alive in heaven, speaking through the Holy Ghost to your heart in your prayer and devotional time and Bible study times. In Revelation 14:11, it says this. The smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Amazing when you stop and think of that. Human beings are never going to have rest day or night. Time should break your heart. Should shatter your heart. When I was at Oklahoma City one evening, I had been underneath the building, and the governor's of Oklahoma's personal guy said, I want you to come with me. And he showed me the FBI guys doing their thing down there. We were right at the heart of the explosion. And he said, where the paint is, he says, they're maybe going to take a week just to move this one bit of rubble because we don't know if anybody's alive. But you can see that. And there's a man there, and he had a half of a face, half of a shoulder, half of a torso, half of a body, just a half of a head. And the cement had just crushed him. And I looked at that and said, nah, geez. About 30 minutes later, I was standing with about six FBI and ATF and federal marshals right at the entrance to the parking lot, and this officer came out in full uniform, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs, shaking his fist there. And he got right up to all of us and said, I hate this building! And all these federal officers are standing there, and I was thinking, whoa, this guy's flipped. I don't blame him. I've been that way for years, but this guy's really flipped over this. And I looked, and I watched the FBI guys, and everybody took a step back a little bit. They didn't know what to do. And Jesus was right there, and he said, you step forward. And I put my arm around him, and I said, hey, what's up? My best friend's a pancake in there. And he had seen this man that we had just seen. It was his best friend and his partner on patrol. He said, no, no. And he just started going crazy. And he said he went in there. He told me he was going to the credit union to get some money. And apparently when the bomb went, he had just made it to his car, ran in and grabbed a woman and brought her out, ran back in, got two more women to safety, and that wall collapsed on him and got him right there. You know, I'll never forget that scene. It was an ugly thing. The death was everywhere. It was just ugly. It was horrible. My heart breaks for the people that say, I hate this building. And they don't know what to do about it. There's no compassion for them in the world. They can go to the shrink. They can go through the therapy. But unless you're willing to spend a lot of hours with this ugly old world, like those fishermen, that's why they did so well. They were used to the stench. And they could work with people because they'd been around smellier things. And you and I need to take that compassion and let the Holy Ghost speak to us about getting involved into the situations in our community to show that we really love and we really care. And then we know that we have this wrath that these people are going to face. Our hearts break. And then we realize the Holy Ghost was given and the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Chuck's greatest Bible study that has probably sold more tapes and distributed more around the world is Jude 1:20. But beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. You ever heard that message before, Chuck? That's the greatest. Because you know what? If the Holy Ghost is talking to me, His love is probably going to saturate me. And I need to build myself up in the faith that Jesus is with me always, even when I have to stand for righteousness. And I'm involved with several law enforcement agencies, and the senior chaplain of one of them just said he was hiring a homosexual clergyman. And I kept remembering Chuck saying, stand for righteousness. And I thought, you know what? I have been praying for the director of this agency for 16 years. I have been a gentleman for 16 years. I have a personal relationship. This man is going to go to hell. And now the homosexual agenda is going to rupture what Jesus has done. I've cried with this guy. I've prayed with this guy. He is not a Christian. We have been through a lot of things. He confides in me. His friends confide in me. And then I realized, and then when the report came back to my reaction was that I tried to skirt the issue. I didn't skirt the issue. I sat in the room with the homosexual clergyman and said, this is sin. This is wrong. Well, the Bible is the Bible. No, the Bible is the Word of God. This was the war going on right there. Everything I'd fought for to lead this one man to the Lord, this guy was going to destroy. You have to stand for righteousness. Guys, the Holy Ghost is causing us to stand for righteousness, to be men of character, and to not play games in these last hours of history. Because Jesus is with us always. We can stand at any time. He's always there, even up to the end. And maybe your stand for righteousness will be the end. But without Him, you can't do anything. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that He is with us. because we are the hands of Jesus Christ. His ministry goes on through you and me. And if our hearts aren't pure, it's going to be difficult for Him to use us. Calvary Chapel has a future, and its future is simply teach the Bible as it has always been. It will never change. Calvary Chapel has a leader. The leader of Calvary Chapel is the Holy Ghost, like it's always been. Led through a man that hears Jesus talking to him. And one thing I learned about the Lord was love Jesus. And you all know that, but sometimes we get away from that. So when you walk into our gymnasium, you see a 10-foot gold Jesus in script. When you look up there, you realize we're about Jesus. Because there wasn't a message for the 5 years I was at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, that Jesus, 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 Jesus wasn't the purpose of that message. Calvary Chapel has a mission. Preach the gospel. Nothing else. And Calvary Chapel has a purpose. It's Jesus. To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to bring to us. So be in contact with heaven through the Holy Ghost, speaking to you through the Word of God as you study and as you pray over the Word. And be open to new works. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I'll do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Trust the Lord. Something new is going to happen in Calvary Chapels. And one last thought. Next week, a week from today, the largest festival of life we've ever held anywhere in the world is going to start in Juarez, Mexico. We've had the largest crowds in Mexico, we've been told so far, in every city we've gone to. But this thing is out of control. The city officials are telling us that the Olympic Stadium is going to be too small. It is so powerful what the Holy Spirit has done in Juarez that He arrested 4 men that were killing the young women, put them on the front page of the Juarez newspaper. We usually have a luncheon for the president or whoever, the prime minister, wherever we are. We had a dinner the other night in Juarez. 1,000 civic leaders showed up and paid $15 apiece to come. Sitting next to Sandy was the governor's personal representative and his wife, sitting next to me as the mayor. Afterwards, at the pastor's luncheon the next day, they said, never before in the history of Mexico has the pre-party and the pan-party ever come to any event, any dinner, let alone sat at the same table. The mayor wants to declare it Festival of Life Week and give us the key to the city next week. The governor has called and said, I want to be in the stadium the first night and declare it and give you the key to the state of Chihuahua and declare it Festival of Life in the entire state. So pray for us, because there are over 1,000 people now joining our team that are going to be in Juarez. There are over 300 churches in Juarez, and people are driving as far from churches as 7 miles away in every direction, coming to be in that city on the streets with us. That's a move of the Holy Ghost. Mexico is changing, and we get to be a part of that. I think your ministries are going to change too, because the Holy Ghost wants to unleash His power through you. God bless.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. If you would like further information on tapes or our free catalog, contact the Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.